When a person chooses an alias, for whatever reason, it's sometimes referred to as a nom de guerre. In French, the phrase literally refers to the name someone fighting in a war chooses to go by, a war name. And as it turns out, the rebels fighting today in Syria are using some pretty interesting nom de guerre.
I think Tony Tayyip is pretty creative.
More on why that name is creative in a minute. That voice you heard belongs to Raja Abdulrahim, a reporter for the Los Angeles Times. She recently reported on the aliases that the Syrian rebels are using and how for some they become like second identities. We're talking rebels opposed to President Bashar al-Assad, like those of the Free Syrian Army. Raja told me that at the start of the revolution, nom de guerre were just a matter of security for the rebels.
Back then, they were giving us fake names or aliases because of the security situation.
So you're talking about 2011 then?
Yeah, that was 2011. And that continued for a while, but I've been, you know, going back to Syria since then. Latest time was this past summer. And many of these activists or rebels, even though the risk is no longer present for them, they no longer live in government areas, they continue to use these names and they don't want to give their real names. Because they've created these aliases and they've taken over their lives, their personalities.
So these are nom de guerre. You write about one of them, somebody named Kusai Hayani, who has become Tony al-Tayyib. So why did Kusai change his name to Tony?
Well, he did it for the same reason in the beginning. Initially, they came out, some of them with the real names, because they thought it was going to be sort of a quick uprising, much like Egypt or Tunisia. And when it started, when it went longer, they started using these names to protect themselves because they were getting threats and they were living in government areas or they had family in government areas. So he chose the name Tony Tayyip, and now it's just stuck and now it's become his main identity.
And then there's the case of Abu Firas, who used to be Abdul Karim Laila, but Abu Firas has kind of become a celebrity. What was he before and how does he feel about this new life now?
He had just graduated with a sociology degree and sort of couldn't find a job, was sort of this quiet man before. And now he's, you know, he became this well-known media activist. And now he's one of the main spokesmen for the rebel group Islamic Front, you know, spends his time with commanders, going to front lines and, you know, does interviews on a lot of the pan-Arab satellite channels. So he's, you know, he's become this very well-known personality. And there's a lot of people within his village, and it's a pretty small village, who never knew him as Abdul Karim, but now know him as Abu Firas.
So with all of these guys, did they tell you about the process that they kind of followed to come up with these names? And where does inspiration come from to get a nom de guerre?
Each person is different. You know, some of them, Abu Firas had kind of, he'd gone through many different names and had sort of said that Abu Firas sounded the most musical. He also said that there's nobody in his family with the name Firas. He was worried that anything too similar, you know, might be able to link him back to his family. There's a lot of paranoia, obviously, in Syria that's sort of grown for the last several decades. And the other two actually chose very unique names. Most of the names that you see in a lot of the rebels and activists are the Abu something, you know, in terms of the father of form. Whereas, you know, Tony Tayyip, he actually in the beginning, it was very, the government at the time was saying that it was a very sectarian uprising and it was all Sunni Muslims. And so he had sort of chosen the name Tony in Syria, usually signifies a Christian person. So he'd used it to try to encourage his Christian friends to sort of show that it was not just Sunni Muslims who were rising up.
Right. Now, 3 years later, these men with two names, they sometimes get confused about who they really are. It's like they can't keep their real and fake identity straight. What did they tell you about that struggle with identity?
Right. Yeah, it definitely becomes like a real identity crisis, especially for the ones who end up leaving Syria but are still very active within the opposition, because they say that once they start sort of remembering remnants of their former life, but they're still very much within, you know, the Syrian cause, they become very confused. It's almost sort of easier to inhabit these identities fully when you're inside Syria living daily under bombardment and all the issues that come with living in a war zone. So they sort of struggle, and honestly, even the ones who tell me they've sort of figured it out are clearly still struggling with it.
Raja Abdulrahim with the Los Angeles Times speaking with me from Los Angeles. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.